As you may know, the Pentecost is traditionally celebrated on this particular day, and it has two different celebrations. In the Jewish calendar, it is the 50th day after the resurrection, but they call it after Passover. And so after Pesach or Passover, it's the 50th day. But in the Christian calendar understanding, it also, and sometimes it coincides, but usually not, because they're on different systems. It's the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're both contrasted, different, but they're also the same, because the root, Jesus's resurrection, would be meaningless without the Pentecost background in Judaism. And so God gave the law on Pentecost to Moses. Big day, huge day. When from Mount Sinai, Moses came down bringing the tables. And when he did, on those tables were 120 letters written, which comprise our Ten Commandments. So 120 letters, which would mean on average 12 letters. So very simply written. And you can count them in the Hebrew Old Testament. So 120 letters are written there. And on that same day, about 3,000 people were killed. You remember when he threw the Ten Commandments down, and there were about, that means not exactly 3,000, about. Well, on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, the birth of the Jewish church with the giving of the Ten Commandments, and the birth of the Christian church with the giving of the gospel. Now, most of us consider that the gospel is that Jesus died and rose again, and there's his cross, so that's Christianity. But actually, that's just the first fruits. And then most people consider that when Moses brought those tables down, that because it was the giving of the law, it's the death to the flesh. And those that were in the flesh then didn't measure up. And so about 3,000 people died. But on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, about 3,000 were born again and filled with the Spirit. And you remember the 120 in the upper room, similar to exactly, precisely, the 120 letters. So you have the difference between the letter and the spirit. The letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. So a perfect contrast and continuity. Both. One is the root, and the other is the fruit, or the perfection of that root. So when Jesus came to earth, he lived and preached and taught and discipled and did all those things for 30-some years. And that, we call that part of his ministry, Savior. Because he was declaring himself to be the Messiah of Israel. And so they killed him for that reason, because the law kills. And so under the law, he had to die, because under the law, we had sinned, and therefore the law is sin and death. If you sin, you die. If you sin, you die. If you break the law, you have to pay the penalty of the law. And it doesn't matter whether you think it's fair or not. Your opinion doesn't matter. So if you break the law, even in one part, you've broken the whole law. You're a lawbreaker. Well, I only broke one part. It doesn't matter. You just break it, that's it. And So if there's no one to accuse you, of course, you get away for free. But if there's someone to accuse you, you're caught. So if the law kills, or the letter of the law kills, what does the spirit of the law do? Gives life. So what the enemy intended for evil actually turns out, by God's will, to be good. So the giving of the law is actually precedent to, it's the first thing, to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so he dies, but then he resurrects on the third day, and then he has 40 days in which he teaches, and then there's 10 days, and then Pentecost. So 40 plus 10 equals 50. So here's Pentecost, and we now identify that, not with the giving of the letter of the law, but with the giving of the Spirit. And so on that day, the Spirit was poured out, and men then received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the promise of the Father. And so on that day, the promise of the Father was more, the whole reason why Jesus came and died was not so that he could come and die, but it was so Pentecost could come. I'm gonna put it stronger. Pentecost is the purpose for which Jesus came and died. So your being born again or justified is not an end, but it's only a beginning. And so the reason you were born again, justified by faith, was passive. That was because Jesus did it, and all you did was believe in that. So that's passive. You didn't do anything. You just believed in that. But then you actively have to exercise your own will and say, I would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it won't be forced on you. And so most Christians don't want that. Most Christians do not want the Holy Spirit. They're scared of him. I'm going to say it again. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to surrender to God, because they believe that there's life in life and that they can find it without him. They believe that their eternal life, they need Jesus for that. But for their temporal day-to-day life, they can handle it. You know, use him every once in a while when you need him. It gets really desperate. You call on him. So most Christians are finessing. They're trying to make it through life with just enough kingdom of God to get them into heaven later, and enough kingdom of this world to have a good time here, or at least to survive and make it through. But God's idea is to wipe out completely the hope in this world and to destroy your flesh utterly. That cannot come by the by water baptism and by Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross does not make you a new person. It only gives you a new heart. That it forgives you for sinning, but it doesn't take away the sin. So you're not yet a new person. You only have a new heart, but you need a new soul, and you need a new life, you need a new body, you need a new outward. Well, that can't come. So whether you follow Moses or not, we find Jesus comes not just to save us from the law, because the law is against sin. There's the law. The giving on that first Pentecost, they came down the mountain. That was Mount Sinai, that first giving. This one is also, the baptism is from heaven, comes down from another mountain, but this is a spiritual mountain, spiritual Mount Zion. The giving of the Spirit poured out from on high. And they're both for government. This one is to create the nation. Without the law, there couldn't have been a nation. And this one is to create a new nation, or a new creation. New creation. So the new creation, or the new nation, is a holy nation. Now, I thought Israel was a holy nation. Well, it was. It was God's holy nation. He intended them to be the light to the Gentiles. But the problem was, we had a holy God and a holy law and a holy land. everything was holy except one thing, the people. And that's the problem. So the problem with the Jewish religion was they couldn't produce holy hearts. They couldn't produce the born again. So they couldn't get the thing started. So because their heart wasn't in it, because their outward behavior was legalistic or hypocritical, and that's what all laws do. By the way, a law just simply makes you a hypocrite because your heart isn't in it. If your heart isn't in it, you need a new heart. That's the first thing you need, and that's what Jesus says, Savior, gives you a new heart. Now you have a new heart, but now the purpose of getting a new heart is not to have a new heart, it's to have a new heart for a new soul, for a new life. And I think most Christians are thinking, well, I'll get that in heaven. That's clever. It's not in the scripture, though. You're actually to have a new soul. In fact, the whole purpose of creating you in the first place was to make you a new creation and Christ-like, spirit, soul, and body. Justified, sanctified, glorified, all three. And, of course, most churches are not deliberately deceiving the people. I don't want to say that. But they either don't know about it, or they do know about it and are suppressing it, but it's mostly they don't want people to suffer. But you can't learn obedience except by suffering. Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. So suffering is the best thing for you, because you think you're going to enter the kingdom of God without violence? There has to be violence. What is that? Death of the flesh. Death of the flesh, death of the flesh, death of the flesh. How many want the death of the flesh? Yay, yay, death of the flesh. Actually, what that means is you. It doesn't mean stopping sinning. It doesn't mean stopping sinning. That's what we think it means. We think, okay, I'll stop lying, I'll stop cheating, I'll stop thinking bad thoughts. Can't, because you're the one doing it. Same as Israel's problem. Need a new heart. Now, if you have a new heart, then you want to grow. Any new baby does not want to stay a baby. They want to grow up. They want to learn. They want to grow. They want to develop. Amen? Babies don't want to stay babies. They want to walk. They see other people walking. They want to talk. They see them talking. They want to smile. They want to laugh. They want to grow up. They don't want to just lay there in their crib. They don't. They're busy. They're thinking. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. And they're so fast. They're so awesome. So it's powerful. All right. So everybody here wants to be a mature Christian. If you're a Christian at all, you want to be a mature Christian. You don't want to be a baby Christian. How many here want to stay on milk forever? Mother's milk. Sounds good to me. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good. That is the flesh talking. That's the flesh talking, okay? But your spirit is in conflict with that. So there's inside of us a war between the flesh and the spirit. Everybody's flesh, oh, by the way, your flesh will never get converted. Your flesh will never improve. I don't know if some of you are trying to improve your flesh, like, come on, flesh, love Jesus. Not going to happen. Your flesh is never going to love Jesus, it's never going to convert, and it's never going to go to heaven. Flesh has no power, no dynamite, no dunamis, has no capacity to ever make it. So you have a new heart when you believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for you and covered your sins, and now your sins are forgiven. But you still have to come under the lordship of Jesus and have him actually, really, 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 not just imputedly, change you. So here's the lordship. So now, number two is lordship. Number one is Savior. Now, I'm saying all this because that's what the book of Acts is talking about. It's talking about those two things. So let's begin in the first chapter. If you didn't bring your Bible, you will go to hell. All right. The indeed, this is in the Greek, the indeed first account I made concerning all things, panton, O Theophilus. Now, Theophilus is made up of two words. Everybody would assume it means a person. He's writing to Theophilus. But it also could mean not that he's writing to a person called Theophilus. It could be that. But it's more likely that it means, oh, lover of God. Phileo is the Greek word for love, God's kind of love. And theo is God. So, oh, lover of God. What's the difference? Because not everybody loves God. Some people fear God. Some people hate God. Okay, so you have the haters of God, the fearers of God, and the lovers of God. It's only the lovers of God that could ask for the Holy Spirit. Those that are God-fearers, they fear God, they need also to love Him positively, not just fear Him as, oh, I want to better behave myself or I'll go to hell. So that is not the reason you come to church. These people here, they didn't come because they don't fear God. But the people that did come isn't because they didn't fear Him. The people that did come are those that love God. No one would come on a pretty day like today except you love God. So if you come because you love God, that's a lover of God, that's Theophilus. So he's writing this letter, a book of Acts, which is in the Greek, praxis. Praxis is like practice or acts or actually doing something. Not believing something, but doing something because you believe. If you believe God is God, then you should surrender to Him. And I in my own life, I did not want to do that. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to live like I wanted to live. So I didn't like the law at all. I didn't want law. So this was, I grew up totally against the law, so the lightning should strike me, because I didn't want to come under any law. I didn't want God to rule my life. And then Jesus came along and offered a promise. So His promise was better than His command. Behave yourself, Jim, or you'll go to hell. It didn't scare me. It wasn't working, because I didn't really care that God was going to send me to hell. All I wanted to do is do what I wanted to do. You see, not everybody is afraid of God. Some people, I couldn't even say I hated God. I did hate Him, of course. But I couldn't say I even thought about Him because I didn't care about Him. He had no meaning. He had no impact on my daily walk. And do you know there are people like me for whom it's irrelevant to them? It's just not relevant. They don't care if there is a God or isn't a God. They're not even atheists. I wasn't an atheist, meaning I don't believe God exists. I didn't care if He existed or not. He didn't exist for me. It was irrelevant to me. He had no practical effect on my daily walk. So can you imagine living like that? Well, who are you going to live for? Well, you. You live for you. You just live selfishly. Is there anyone here as wicked as I was? Oh my gosh, church full of people. It's good. But God wants us to be shalom with His law. Line up with my law. Don't deviate to the left or to the right. If you build this building and the cornerstone of the building, and then you vary it a quarter of an inch at the corner, by the time it gets to the end of the building, or even to here, 70 feet later, it's going to be off an inch or so. It just started out as a quarter of an inch, but it could be several feet by the time you get to the end of the building. So you don't want to be off. So everything needs to be square or shalom, lined up perfectly with God's will. So the natural man doesn't want that. I mean, even if the natural man pretends like he does, he doesn't. His heart's not in it. And that's part of shalom, is you have to have your heart and your soul and your body and everything all lined up so you can go to heaven. You can't go to heaven if you're off, if you're non-shalom. So is everybody here dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus? Because that's the rules, that's the laws. Now, if you're not under the law but you're under the promise, then what a difference Pentecost makes for the Jewish people. It was come under the law. And of course, they didn't make it. They weren't able to do it. They weren't able to be perfect like God is perfect, holy like God is holy. But for Christians, we're in this box here, If you don't take number two, but you only take number one, which is what most Christians want, is just give me number one. Then you have Jesus as Savior, and you don't have him as Lord. But you can't make it then. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, because most people feel this is enough right here. This is an option. That's cute. That's good. It's clever. But it's not true. So there's no option here. And it's a total misunderstanding that you're no longer under the law, you're under a promise. And here's the promise, not just that he forgives your sins, so this is forgiveness. He imputes to you no guilt. So this is called forgive. That's mercy. Mercy does that. So here's the mercy of God. But you also need not just to have your sins forgiven, they need to be removed. So here, the promise not only is I'll forgive you, but the promise is also I'll restore you to God's original intention, not to your original condition. I'll restore you to God's original purpose when he created you. So that restoration is to remove all flesh, to remove all sin, not just forgive it. Here, I have the flesh, but he forgives it. Here, he actually removes it, and how does he do it? He not just forgives sins, but here, he removes you, the tree. The tree, if you chop the tree down, there won't be any fruit. All you have to do is chop the tree down. So, when I got born again, born from above, number one, I didn't want number two. I mean, I thought it was a big deal just to get out of the world and no longer be a pagan, no longer be selfish and nasty and horrible. And I thought it was great of God to forgive me for all that. And that was great. That's enough. Let's take that. So I keep sinning, and then he keeps forgiving. We both have a job, see? I sin, he forgives. I sin, he forgives. I sin, he forgives. I sin. Good deal. It's a good arrangement. Can you all see that that's good news? I sin and he forgives. I sin and he forgives. I sin and he forgives. It's a wonderful arrangement. And so God's happy because he got to forgive me, and I'm happy because he did. But I get to keep sinning. Now, God pointed out then, actually it was more or less Peggy, pointed out is, now how do you call yourself a Christian? I believe in Jesus. Well, you believe in him, but where's your fruit? I don't know. I guess it's coming. God's probably slow about that part. How many know that God is slow to anger and also to produce fruit? So I didn't know why he didn't produce it. I just thought that, you know, the main thing is that I don't want to lose my joy. She was trying to take away my joy, make me feel bad that I was still selfish and sinful. Can you see that? That was a wicked wife. A wicked wife was trying to undermine me and emasculate me and cut me down. Do you see that? Do you see? Boo for Peggy. Boo against Peggy. Because I was wanting to sin. That was my flesh. But I also was wanting to go to heaven when I died. But I just wanted to sin all the way until heaven. I mean, I wanted to sin up until the last minute. Then I'd get off the train at the last stop. Oh, this is my stop. Thanks. You know, and then I'd go to heaven. You see that? That seemed like a good deal to me. Because it didn't seem like I could get rid of my flesh. It seemed like I still had the same flesh before I was baptized in water. And then after I was baptized, I still seemed to have the same flesh. So I didn't want to be a hypocrite. So she said, you know, where's your fruit? I don't know. I mean, I didn't lie and say, I didn't. I was good. I knew I wasn't any good. So then what difference did it make, she said? You're born again. Where's the change? Good question. It's coming. But thankfully, I was the pastor, so, you know, wasn't too much she could do because I get the last word in public. She doesn't get to stand up and say anything. Because she would, otherwise, she'd say, he's lying. He's a hypocrite and a liar. And then we would have no food, you see. So I'd tell her, Peg, just don't say anything. And I used to make her sit in the front row where no one could see her face. She might be frowning or something. Sit close to the front. Y'all don't think it's funny because it's true. Anyway, But I didn't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, and that's what Pentecost is all about. It's not Calvary. It's not Jesus dying. It's me dying. So on Pentecost, I get to die. By making him my Lord, basically Jim is gone. Over here, Jesus forgave Jim, but Jim still was Jim. But he forgave me. I like that part. That was his blood covering. And so when God looked at me, he saw the blood. He said, ah, I didn't see Jim. I see Jim covered with the blood. He has faith in me. I impute him to be righteous. I love that. I thought that was such good news. Thank God for a gracious, merciful God. But I had no power. I had no power to take away sin. The love of sinning was still with me. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, that after you become a Christian, you still love sin. I mean, I loved it. It just seemed to be my personality. And now I added Jesus to it. Huh, boy, got it made. I love Jesus and I love sin and both. I get to keep both. I have heaven on earth, then I get heaven later. That seemed like a good deal. I mean, I don't know how you could have a better God than that. But it did not agree with Scripture, and Peggy was right. Where is your fruit? I don't know. I don't think it's up to me. I don't want to be a hypocrite or something. I don't want to be legalistic. The fruit will come. It just kind of comes. And then people were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, what's that? I know what the Father does. He creates the world, and then it goes wacko. And then I know what Jesus does. He saves the world, forgives them. That part I know. Holy Spirit, I don't know what he does. And so I wasn't sure what the Holy Spirit's job was. Turns out to be, he's the most important one. I don't know if you know this, as far as you're concerned. As far as you're concerned. In the Godhead, he's not the most important. He's equal to everybody else. But in as far as you're concerned, he's the one that takes what the Father did, corrected by Jesus, and applies it to you. So he's the most important one for you. You've got to have the power. But he won't force it because we're not under a law. It's going to be free, voluntary. I want to have no more sin dominating me, controlling me, reigning over me, and ruling my life. Fear be gone, you know, lust be gone, anger be gone, jealousy be gone, etc. But it didn't go. It didn't go. So if the power of God is dynamite, dunamis, if it's dynamite, I had a sparkler. Go, sin. But it wasn't enough, apparently, light or power to make any real display that anyone could notice. Peg, look at the sparkler. It's cute, but I want to see the power. And the reason I'm telling on myself is because I think some of you are in the same boat. The only reason I'm telling myself is so that I don't talk about you. Because you are naughty, like I was, that my heart wasn't in it. Even though I had a new heart, okay, then my soul wasn't in it. Somebody wasn't in it that was connected close to me. So whoever that was, they were naughty. And so at home, you know, in the church, I didn't say all that, but in home, you know, she knew what I was doing. She said, that's lying. And I'd go, yeah. Well, did you lie deliberately? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I did. Well, what if the church found out? We wouldn't eat. So don't say anything. Keep it quiet. You know, don't let them know. Yeah, so, but Peggy was expecting me to have some more, right? Isn't it good to have a wife that doesn't believe in you? Amen. You know, behind every successful man, there's a woman that thinks he wouldn't make it. You know, so it's good. You got to have someone that, you know, provokes you. Amen. So it's great. Oh, it's just good. So it's kind of hard for her to grow by my lack of sincerity. Do you all see that? Because I lacked the sincerity. I knew, if people say, why don't you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? I think it's an option, isn't it? And besides, I'm not sure what it is. I think I already have it probably. I mean, when you get Jesus, don't you get everything? So I don't think I'm missing anything. So I really resented and resisted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when I saw people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, they looked flaky to me. You know, they do stuff like this. You know, and I thought, I don't need that. That just sounds like psychological instability to me. Those people are, they need something, so they've picked up that. I don't need that. I'm intelligent, educated, more sophisticated than that. I don't need that kind of babbly stuff. And so I resisted that. Does anybody else resist that? Nobody else? Was I the only one that resisted that? You did. Okay, four people. Well, you know what? Is everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit then here? Oh, praise God. I didn't even know that. That's exciting. Anyway, it happened to me one day. And I realized that was my death day. And I could feel it in my stomach whenever I'd think about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, whatever it meant. I didn't know what it meant, but whatever it meant, it sounded like surrender. It sounded like I would no longer be in charge. And there was something in me that resisted that. It's called flesh. I had flesh. And my flesh did not want to die. That is, it didn't want to give up control. It didn't want to surrender to God, say what he wanted to say, do what he wanted to do. How many of you love to do what Jesus wants to do all the time? You see, I kind of caught the idea there. I don't think I want that. I think I want to serve him every once in a while, Sunday mornings, for example, stuff like that. But I don't think I want to give him my whole life. I don't think I want to just make him everything. I want to just kind of, you know, do a little bit. Maybe put Jesus first on Sunday morning. But I didn't want him to be the Lord of my life. I did not want to have a Lord, because then where would I be? Where's me? If there's only Jesus dictating everything, what's the point of me? See what I'm saying? So I tried to preserve myself. How many know the law of self-preservation? It's the highest law of nature. To preserve the species, to preserve the individual. That was a high law. So I tried very much to do it, and the only problem was terror. That was the only problem, which came basically from Peg. No, it didn't. It actually came from Jesus. What if she's right? What if you're supposed to have works? They wouldn't be legalistic works without the heart. But now I have a new heart, so they'd be heart works. That is, your deeds would be wrought in God. It would actually be God doing it. I knew I didn't have that. Whatever I had, I didn't have that. Whatever that was, I didn't have that. I didn't have that kind of power to actually overcome sin and walk in victory and live only for Jesus. I didn't have that power. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You do. Does anyone else? You do? Okay. For you two, I will continue. Because this is my testimony that I realized, I knew at a certain point, it's absolute surrender. Christianity is not believing in Jesus died on a cross for me. It means surrendering to him. I now understood why my resistance came from my flesh, because my flesh never wanted to die. My flesh wanted to stay alive all the way to heaven, and then I didn't know what would go beyond that. Just all I knew was my flesh. And I didn't mind it being forgiven, I just didn't want it being gone. Because that was me. That was me. And God didn't want Jim to exist anymore. That's basically what Peggy was saying, is, when are you going to stop being you and start, you know, loving me the way God would? So that was a great question. That was a great question. When are you going to stop being you? When are you going to stop getting up when you want to get up? Eating what you want to eat, watching what you want to watch, doing what you want to do. When are you going to start rejoicing in God all the time, being happy all the time? You know, just being in love with others, being dead to yourself, don't care about yourself, can completely love and serve others. Woohoo! How many are excited about that message? That's a good message. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you're baptized, which means you're totally immersed, every molecule in you is now given over to God. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. So this Holy Spirit is because God wants you lined up, not just spirit, but also soul, which is dead, so that your body or your behavior might then say and do all the things that God wants. So this is where you believe, this is where you will, and this is where you do. So what you speak and what you act. Remember the book of Acts. The book of Acts is here. So Pentecost was the opposite of the giving of the law. Now it's the giving of the Spirit. The opposite of coming down from Mount Sinai. Now it's coming down from heaven. The opposite of the 120 letters, which killeth, but now it's the 120 persons which are filled with the Holy Spirit and have life. And so that's why about 3,000 died and about 3,000 were born again, baptized in water, and then also that very same day baptized in the Holy Spirit. So how many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now, I want to prompt you, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you have to ask for it, it won't just fall on you. It doesn't come until you believe in it, and then you ask for it. Oh, I didn't know I could have that. Okay, give me the power. What does it do? You speak in tongues? No. I mean, yes, you do, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of the giving of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, is to make you like Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. So the purpose is to take that which you have in number one and then apply it to your soul and your body, not just your spirit, so that your Holy Spirit, Holy Soul, Holy Body, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So Jesus wants a glorious church made up of glorious individuals, so that you don't do anything of your own. You don't speak your own words. You don't say your own things. You speak only His words, and you do only His deeds. Isn't that exciting? How many are excited about that? No longer you, because you're the problem. You're the axe that's laid to the root of the tree guy. You're the tree He wants to lay the axe to. And He's talking not about your spirit, but about your soul. He's talking about getting rid of you, the one that produces all those bad things. Because out of the natural heart cometh murder, adultery, fornication, you know, greed, lust, bitterness, all that stuff. Huh. That's what He wants to get rid of, is you living your life. Jesus wants to live your life. He wants you available to Him so that whatever He whispers, you immediately say and do. Amen? And this is exciting. Aren't you glad you came today? Because you need to know that Pentecost is the reason that Calvary came. So the Jewish Pentecost was the birth of the nation Israel. But their problem was, though the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth doesn't come through Moses. Moses has no grace. It's just like the policeman, if you say you were going 80, in a 60 zone, he will tend not to allow you just to go on and show you mercy. He will tend to say, you know, here, receive this little gift. And it's got some writing on it. And then you have to, you know, do all kinds of things. Because they don't really care that you were thinking something or feeling something or listening to something on the radio or something. They don't care. You were speeding. That's it. No explanation. You can't even argue with them because they'll say, tell it to the judge. Yeah, but sir, you could, you know, he doesn't want to hear it. But I always put the Bible on the dash. And it's the same as though I was a young girl in a red convertible, you know. Oh, a pastor, a man of the cloth. You know, go on. But anyway. So I always think of all these clever things, you know, as I'm being pulled over. So the law is hard. How many know the law is hard? The law is hard. Why is the law so hard? It has no mercy. It has no grace. It has no help. It has no power. It doesn't want to help me out. It just wants to tell me to do right and not to do wrong. That's all it does. It either prescribes or it postscribes. You know, it's going to tell me not to do something. It prohibits me. It doesn't want me to do that. That is proscribed. This is prescribed. This is what you must do. This is what you must not do. So the law is harsh. How many know that your flesh does not like law? Everybody in here is a Nimrod, a rebel. Everybody in here has equally as nasty as I am. Everybody's just like me. That's amazing. You're all like me. Secret. You are clever at hiding it. You're very clever to hide it because you look like you're more decent than I am. But I've never lied about that. If some Peggy wanted to know, I'd just tell her. Whatever. Just the only reason I didn't want to tell is because that would ruin one of my games. But other than that, I don't have any problem telling because I have no conscience. I have no thought about that at all. But after I became a pastor, that seemed to change the thing. Is, you know, if you're a pastor, shouldn't you be a Christian? That was my first problem. Second one was, if you're a Christian, shouldn't you be bearing fruit? Well, I didn't have any power. So all the power comes over here. Mercy plus power is grace. So here's grace here. Grace is both of these. This is the gospel of grace. But it's mercy over here and power over here. And remember he said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will give you power. To do what? Well, that's the same as the word dynamite, dunamis. It's like if you were walking along and all of a sudden an obstacle got in your way, you could use your stick of dynamite to blow the thing up and it'd be gone. Or let's say it was the devil. And you had a stick of dynamite and the devil came up and said, stop following Jesus. You need to walk in the flesh. I could hand him the stick of dynamite. Could you hold that for a minute? And the devil would be gone. You see, so I needed power, and I didn't have it. I just had that little sparkler thing. Could you hold that? And it didn't seem like it had any power. There's no power to that one. It wasn't a K-28 or, you know, an atomic bomb or something. I needed some real power. If you're going to change someone like me, you have to have real power. You have to have real power. Because nobody could kill me. Peggy could not with her guilt trips and stuff like that. It didn't bother me. She could emasculate me all day long, cut my knees off. But, you know, I didn't mind. I just said, you done? You know, I mean, it's nothing to me. Because I looked at all people as hypocrites. I just looked at Peggy. Do you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength? You're going to hell. So, there. And then I got back up again. I got see how I saved myself continually? And so I actually misused the scripture to block her. But that's not exactly the same thing as the Holy Spirit. That's not exactly, y'all understand that? That's not exactly the same thing as the Holy Spirit. So the day that happened, I remember when it happened. As I was afraid of the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to give up my life. I didn't want to live only for Jesus. I wanted Jesus for eternal life. Kind of an insurance program thing. And then I wanted to live my own life here as best I, you know, chose. But I didn't really want to be a complete, real, honest, sincere Christian. Is there anybody here like me? Kind of a half and half, lukewarm type of Christian. Not all the way for devil, not all the way for God, something in the middle. Did y'all see that? I'm a Christian, yes, because I don't follow the devil completely. But I'm not a Satanist. I'm a Christian. How many know that doesn't cut it? How many know God will not buy that? I'm only keeping three major sins. I gave up seven, you know, so that won't do it. God wants no sin in your life. How many know no sin? That includes no judging others. I just caught half of you. That includes being joyful all the time. I mean, that's death. That's death. Your flesh cannot be joyful all the time. Your flesh likes gripe every once in a while. Could I have an hour and a half for griping? Yes, go. And so your flesh just feels so good when it can complain and gripe and moan and feel sorry for itself. But the Bible knows nothing of victims. Nobody here is a victim. Nobody. You are a culprit, wicked, guilty, evil. That's time you say amen. 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 This is good. You people are very good in learning your lines. Because you are basically deep down, even if you have a new heart, you don't have a new soul. Even if you had a new soul, you still don't have a new body. So all of that, you'll have to have faith on that new body thing. How many of your body is decaying? It's going downhill. From the time you're born, it's heading straight downhill. It doesn't go up for 30 years and then go down. You get diseases right off, and they just stay with you. Old wounds, old, you know, things, and they show up when you get Peggy's age. They show up. Y'all see this? But by the way, Peggy's okay. She's okay with this. I have convinced her now she is as wicked as I am. Yahoo! That was by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the way. The Holy Spirit gave me that power. Isn't that exciting, Joyce? I nailed her, finally. It's exciting. No, you know what? If you're not in love with Jesus, you're not in love at all. You can't make Jesus a little Lord. He has to be Lord of all or Lord not at all. He's either going to be Lord of everything or nothing. He can't have him as a half Lord or a partial Lord or a Sunday morning Lord. So how many are excited to go all the way with Jesus, death to the self, no longer living in the flesh, filled with the Holy Spirit, emptied of the flesh? Ha ha. Whoa, all the way. Woohoo! Amen. Okay. Now, that's true Christianity. Will it sell? I don't think so. I don't think so. You people are crazy if you believe in this. You are crazy. Why? Because it's your death. And all you have is you, and he is asking you to surrender. You know, when you surrender, you have to lift your arms like this, and you go, you know, I don't have my hand on my gun or anything. I give up. I surrender. That's what Jesus wants, Tommy. Isn't that exciting? Give up everything. No more you ever can think again. You can't feel again. You can't talk again. You can't walk again. You have to always ask Jesus, Jesus, what do I think right now? Oh, thank you. What do I feel right now? Happy. Okay, I'm happy. You don't get to decide whether you're happy or not. You have to ask him. And he wants you to be exactly like Jesus, never thinking your own thought, never feeling anything, never feeling what you feel. You're not allowed to feel what you feel. Let's say you felt miserable. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. That's disallowed under the Lordship. He looks at that. Nope. Nope. Out. Now, Lord is a commander. You see, we're going back to the Mount Sinai. The only difference now is I have a new heart, so that I can now keep the law and walk the Torah. I can walk out all of it now, not in the world to come, not when I get to heaven, but today, right now, this morning, to rejoice in God always. Do you know it's possible? Do you know that you can stop judging other people? Did you know that you can stop judging yourself? Did you know that inside of you, you have a death wish and a life wish? Are you aware of that? The death wish is thanatos. That's the Greek word for death. The life wish is eros. That's the word for me, myself. So you have a life wish, preserve yourself. You have a death wish, destroy yourself. Did you know everybody's a walking contradiction? Everybody. Until you become born again. Now you have not a life wish naturally, but you have a spiritual life, Jesus Christ, who is your life. He is your all in all. And you're completely content in him. You don't have to have anything go your way. If somebody shoots me right now, it's good. I have no problem. I don't have anything to gain or what lose. I'm not scared. Perfect love casts out all fear. What a joyful way to live. I tell you, making Jesus the Lord of your life is joyful. Everything that's happened in the past, regret nothing. I want you to say this. I have no regrets. It's good. Because I know a whole bunch of you just lied on that one. I have no regrets. I regret nothing. I know you do. I know you do. You're hiding things. It's okay. It's okay. It's just your flesh. That's not your spirit. That's not you anymore. You're dead. Jesus died. Now you died. Two dies. That's good. That's life right there. Two dies. So the reason that Pentecost came, when it came, exactly at the hour it came. Remember, he waited 40 days, taught them of the kingdom of God. That's the only thing he talked about. the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Every day, same message, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. It's kind of like my messages. They're always the same. They're always exactly the same. Why? You can come to one, you come to them all. There's no point in even coming twice. Because it's the same message, just repeated with usually the same rotten jokes. I mean, Peggy always tells me, get new material, you know. You've told that one, and I'm tired of it. Peggy tires of. I love my stories. I could tell them over and over again. Because they're my life. They're fascinating to me. I just love it when somebody says, tell me your story. I just get to tell it again. I love my stories. I think they're great. Peggy's fearful right now I'm going to tell one because I'm thinking of several. Now, do you know you're boring? I mean, you, as a natural person, you're boring. And you're wicked, and you're evil, and you're nasty, and so on. But in Christ Jesus, you are a king and a priest. Wow, that's powerful. That means I'm always joyful. Why? Because I have the holiness of God, I have the mercy of God, and I have the power of God. And that's what love is. Love is holy, merciful, and powerful. True love, unconditional love, has those three elements. Always the holiness of God convicts you that your flesh is full of sin. You should have no confidence in it. That's what the holiness of God does. It doesn't forgive you and it doesn't help you. It just tells you that you are going to perish. And you will. You will only live a few years and then it's over. The holiness of God is followed, however, by the same God who's holy with mercy that says, even though you should perish and ought to perish, I don't want you to, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's why he talked about the kingdom for 40 days. Because that's his pleasure. His pleasure is that you've started a new creation, a whole new world. When Moses came along, he did not start a new world. He just tried to improve upon and reform the old. But without a heart change, you cannot do it. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be born again. Are you a teacher in Israel, yet you do not know this, that you have to have a pure heart? Because God's law is, be perfect as I am. Be holy as I am. How many are holy as God is? Not just by imputed righteousness, number one, but by actual righteousness, true dynamite, true power, where the Holy Spirit speaks through you, acts through you, and you know it, and others know it, and give glory to the Father which is in heaven. Your deeds are now wrought in God. They're not wrought in you. They're not out of your own juices. It's not just you behaving yourself. That's why you're no better than anybody else. You can't be better than anybody else. You're exactly like everybody else. Everybody is exactly the same, deviant from God's purpose, unholy, ungodly. But Jesus came for the ungodly. That's good news. How many know that's good news? It's better to have God's promises than to have Moses' commands from God. They're actually from angels. They're actually from God. God sent the angels to minister it to Moses, who then told it to the people with authority. In other words, he said, get in line. Get perfectly lined up with God. That is the meaning of shalom. Be at peace with God means be lined up spiritually, psychologically, physically, in every way, in every possible conceivable way. Everything should be according to heaven. The pattern of heaven should be the pattern for your life. Now, how many of you are part of the glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? There's no spot in your life, no wrinkle in your life, no such thing in your life. No, there's no blemish. You're spotless, just like Jesus. How many of you are there? Okay, how many of you are there spiritually? That is, you believe in Jesus, he's forgiven you. How many of you are there psychologically? That is, your flesh is now dead, and you're wanting to be a Christian, even though you're not doing it, but you want to. How many want to? You remember it says the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will do what? Two things, to will and to do of the Father's good pleasure. So at least willing is halfway there, but still doing is the only thing that he's going to say to you at the end of time. Do you know the only thing he's going to say to you is not, well believed. well wanted, but well done. Only the done is going to count. How many, are you aware of that? Anything less than done is a blemish, a spot, a wrinkle. The bride cannot have any spot, wrinkle on her. No blemish, no nothing. She has to be perfect, spirit, soul, and body. And you can't do it. You can't do it. Only the power of God can do that. You need the power of God. So I hope everybody here is baptized in the Holy Ghost. You have to ask for it. It won't just come. It won't come automatically if you're singing a song or being in church. The Holy Spirit is something where you transact yourself and say to God, God, now that I'm born again, have a new heart, from my new heart, I ask you, baptize me in the Holy Ghost so that I'm empty of me and I'm walking with you, rejoicing in you, praising you, living for you, dead to this world forever. How many are ready to make that surrender today? Praise God. I'm not trying to persuade anyone. I'm just telling you what true Christianity is and what it is for me. For me, God came into my life, first of all, to save me. That means justified. And then to completely restore me, sanctified, so that I could walk glorified in the power of the Holy Spirit in actual life, so that people could see it and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. That is powerful. That kind of church is not seen today. That kind of, there are some individuals like that, but not churches. God wants to have a church full of people that are so baptized in the Spirit that there's no flesh left. Imagine us loving one another right now without trying. Just simply doing it in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. We could do it. All you have to do is walk up to somebody and say, you know, you're such a blessing to me. You're a complete blessing to me. I'm going to say that to you. You're a blessing to me and equally you. Now, who's the oldest? Okay. Twice for you. Now, God wants us to start living in heaven now. Here's a good start. Be happy all the time. Why? Because the Bible says so. This is describing you. If you're a Christian, you're rejoicing always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You're rejoicing always. How many are doing that right now? Woohoo! 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 Is that kind of scary? Because you know what? That's the scariest thing in the world, is to rejoice all the time. Only little kids can pull it off, because little kids don't know any better. So they, they're excited. But adults, they know too much. They think too much. They feel too much. They want too much. I don't feel anything, think anything, want anything. Why? I already have everything. I don't care what you think. I don't care what I think. I don't care about thinking. Why? Take every thought captive to the Word of God. I don't care about willing. Not my will, but thine be done. I don't care about feeling. You know, what I feel is irrelevant. What you feel is irrelevant. What you feel toward me, toward yourself, toward others, it's irrelevant. Even what you feel toward God, that doesn't count for anything. Truth trumps psychological feelings, thoughts, desires. Truth trumps those. You need to live by truth. Truth will set you free, but your psychological nature will only bind you. The whole world today is lost in psychology. There was an age at which psychology was nothing, but it's not our age. Ever since the late 19th century, psychology has become everything. It started back before that, but it didn't triumph until the 20th century. And now in the 21st century, everybody is, how do you feel? What do you think? What do you want? Well, what's your desire? It's all selfish, trying to preserve the self. So when someone says, well, Pastor, I feel this, that's like saying nothing. What you feel is irrelevant. But to the world, they're very interested. You could write a novel. I just like to give my opinion. For what? What is your opinion worth? Well, it's my opinion. I mean, that's me. We're not interested in you. It's not about you. It's about God, the kingdom of God, 40 days. That kingdom of God is everything. Everything else will perish, pass away. So how interesting your life story is or how your feeling states are. By the way, let me show you something about psychology. I could easily have several degrees in it. Psychology is rubbish. It's, you know, worse. It's witchcraft. We once regarded Christ from a human point of view. That would be psychological. But we regard him thus no longer. So it's forbidden for Christians. And yet there are Christian psychologists out there that are helpful to people. Nonsense. Don't believe a word of it. What people need is the word of God, not some kind of, you know, oh, yeah, tell me more. Oh, that's interesting. Wow, did he do that? That's awful. This is worthless. Now, I'm going to show you something about psychology. It doesn't work. Let's say I was angry. Jim, what you have to do is just go ahead and express your anger. Okay, I express my anger. The minute I report on my anger, it's changed. The second I report on any psychological desire, feeling, thought, emotion, imagination, it's changed. So let's say I'm angry. So I go, well, I'm angry right now. But just saying it makes me happy. That I expressed myself, so now I'm happy that I expressed that I was angry. So which am I? And the minute I say that, it makes me mad that you didn't respond the way I wanted you to respond. So now I'm angry again. But I'm glad that I got to tell you that I was angry again, and now I feel happy again. You see, you cannot hold on to a will-o-wisp. You cannot hold on to it. It's like a stream moving along. You can take a picture of it, but it's no longer moving. And when you get home, it doesn't have that sound and that feel or anything because there's no motion to it. The minute you snapshot it, it's changed. You can never hang on to a psychological state, not even for a second, not even for a moment. So when you say, I'm angry, you're lying. So honesty is a lie. Now, I don't care that you think about that. I just thought I'd tell you that. Is to make that your foundation is to have no foundation. Make the truth your foundation. It never changes. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's truth. That'll never change. And little kids can get a hold of that. Jesus loves me, this I know. And they're happy. And you can't shake them. Stop singing that. Oh, the Bible tells me so. You know, they'll sing it inside their head. Because little kids like that song. Why? Because it's the truth. Do you know it's the clearest thought in the world? There's no, you cannot come up with a clearer thought than what I just said. So no theology can get beyond that little statement that little kids sing. Powerful. This world is full of lies, deception. And the world today is crashing. It's heading directly for complete chaos and darkness. The only ones in it is you and me. I don't mean literally. But the only ones in it are those that are born again and who are also then being restored psychologically, death to the self, crucifixion of the flesh, and physically, so that you're actually saying and doing the words and will of God. Execution, acts, praxis. Praxis in the Greek means not talk, theory, but it means actually that's the way you are. So the book of Acts is not about what Jesus did. It's about what the Lord Jesus is doing right now in his people. So to be baptized in the Spirit means that you forever live after God's ordinance. You forever live according to the order, the institution, the ordination of God. You line everything up with God's will and purpose. You don't live for yourself anymore. This world is gone. Now, if you're truly free, and that's the only freedom there is, if you're truly free from this world, then you're free to follow the Lord. You're free to love your wife. You're free to love your husband. You're free to forgive an enemy. You're free to live happy for the rest of your life.